And now we'll hear about the governments, both civil and uncivil, from Brother Jerry Leslie.
Brother Russell gave special treatment to the kingdoms of this world in Volume 1 and also the foreword to the fourth volume. One of the last articles he submitted for the Tower before his death was The Earth Trembled and Fell on reprint 5989. Kingdoms are seen in two characters depending upon the seer. In the eyes of the governors of this world, they are seen as magnificent monuments of human endeavor. They stand like Nebuchadnezzar's dream, head and shoulders above the horizon. They receive their heritage from the predecessors of gold, silver, and copper. Those godly persons like Daniel see them as vicious beasts rising out of the sea of human turmoil and ambition. Like beasts, all governments oppress and devour humanity. But like Daniel in the den of lions, the Lord's people are able to stand in their midst and not be consumed. All governments dominate by virtue of two factors: control of the economy, which centralizes wealth and purchasing power. It moves power into the hands of a few, enabling them to dictate affairs affecting their destiny. This was somewhat true in ancient Greece and Rome, but became very refined in both capitalism and socialism since World War I. Wealth is power, and international wealth is a superlative ambition. The other arm is the military. Every government sustains its existence by force of arms. This is not only against the invader, but against internal dissidents. It is the same with kings, czars, emperors, or presidents. It matters not whether the government is socialist, monarchy, capitalist, nationalist, or fascist. We see this in Russia, Iraq, Somalia, China, Japan, and every civilized and uncivilized country. Russia uses the military against the people of Chechnya, not as an aggressor nation, but to control those who wish to rule themselves. God blessed Israel as a microcosm or prototype of a world theocracy. Egypt fell with the deliverance of Israel. Israel prevailed over the Amalekites, the Canaanites, the Philistines. Even Assyria had to wait on the providence of Israel's kingdom till God gave Israel into the hands of Assyria and Babylon. Israel was given into the hands of strangers, and this was designated the times of the Gentiles. As the government of Israel was dramatically overthrown, burned, and utterly rendered without even a figurehead, so the end of the Gentile times was marked with the beheading, blinding, and setting to flame the civil alliances that claimed the divine right of kings. Daniel 7 is a graphic picture of civil governments. The fourth beast, with its persecuting little horn, is given to flames in verse 11. But this papal Roman horn makes war with the saints. And though we often think of it as the religious arm, it was also very much the civil arm of Rome. The theme of the chapter is seen in the last verses, where the earthly dominion is removed from earthly kingdoms in the time of the end, and its sovereignty is given to the saints of the Most High, particularly noted in Daniel 7, verse 22 and 27. A similar message is recorded in Revelation 11th chapter, verse 15, under the seventh trumpet, where the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and His anointed. This does not happen, however, without some protest from those who have occupied this dominion for so long. It is accompanied by great turmoil, and we are witnessing it. Civil government is still with us. The body of the beast struggles to survive without the same heads and horns possessed for so long. They seem to have a prophetic presence close to the time of the very collapse of the old order until the complete transfer to the new ruling administration occurs. These kingdoms do wish to hold on to their ancient glory and memories. Governments of earth are besieged by the Lord's great army. The kings of earth lament the burning of Babylon in Revelation 18, verse 9. In the 19th chapter, Revelation 19, particularly the 19th verse, the beast and the false prophet seem to take coalition together with the kings of earth against the anarchistic birds of heaven. But they find their demise in the lake of fire in the 17th through the 21st verses. Only in the last plague does every island flee away, and then the mountains are found no more, Revelation 16, 20. In this we see the prophetic end of the civil governments of this world, when the mountains are found no more. So, where do we stand in the prophetic role of civil governments? There has been a profound divine intervention in earthly governments, beginning with the French Revolution. But especially since 1878, when much of the map of Europe was redrawn, and a collision course was set for the next century. Most dramatically, the explosion of 1914 set the old world on fire. Ancient kingdoms like the Ottoman Empire virtually disappeared. Organizations like the Congress of Nations, the United Nations, oversaw the emergence of a Jewish state. Thrones fell and the world was divided between socialist and capitalist ideologies. We have all witnessed the collapse of the key communist governments, and capitalism is not far behind. When Gorbachev fell from the glory of Russia, he had just been in the midst of dismantling socialist idealism and was on the very verge of arranging an agreement with the Vatican whereby giving them a greater free hand to work out a coalition with the Vatican and the Orthodox Church in his own sphere, that they together might deliver a moral and spiritual revival in Russia. This happened at Malta. Some of you may recall the news item in which the ship that they were on to Malta nearly sank in a storm. But the scheme was aborted before its birth, and Gorbachev was swept off the scene. Nations preserve their presumed strength in treaties, coalitions, mutual aid, and defense programs. But from God's standpoint, the process is a matter of assembling and bundling of kingdoms for their destruction. We read in Zephaniah 3, verse 8 and 9. Zephaniah 3, verse 8. Wait for me, declares the Lord, for the day when I rise up to the prey. Indeed, my decision is to gather the nations, to assemble the kingdoms, to pour out on them my indignation, all my burning anger. For all the earth will be devoured by the fire of my zeal. For then I will give to the peoples purified lips, that all of them may call on the name of the Lord to serve him shoulder to shoulder. And again in Malachi, the fourth chapter, verse 1, Malachi 4, 1, behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evildoer will be chaff. And the day that is coming will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. The demise of civil governments occur when the two legs on which they stand collapse. These are, as we mentioned, the financial and military crutches. Brother Russell suggested that when the military refuse to obey orders, the government is on the brink of destruction because it has lost its sword. Similarly, when the illusion of financial confidence is exposed, then their gold and silver is cankered because they have exploited the laborers. Then the cries of the reapers will rise up against their own countrymen. James 5, 1-4. Then the masses will no longer march in lockstep. Even the soldier must be rewarded in superior fashion in order to hold their own people in check. It is both military and financial questions that undermine countries like Iraq, Russia, Ukraine, Africa, China. Only by socialism throwing in the towel has anarchy been delayed in Germany, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, and Poland. But even that could not spare old Serbia, Croatia, and Bosnia from the flames. When Moldova workers have not been paid in a year and the country is near collapse, neither money nor military are sufficient to forestall the demise. Nations think they can simply eliminate their undesirables, and the world will look the other way and soon forget. But the cries of the reapers among the Kurds, the Ethiopians, Nigerians, Chechens will be heard. The nations look on and are desperately attempting to devise a last plan to spare their already condemned lives. Yet Europe continues in the illusion of the security and the dream of unity. The mountains and earth are being moved. We refer you to Psalms 97, Isaiah 24, 19-21, Hebrews 12, 25-29, and 2 Peter 3, 10-12. The shaking, as with any earthquake, removes the unsound. And so that is what lies just before us in the civil sphere. They are soon to be carried into the midst of the sea. We believe the four winds of Revelation 7 will form a whirlwind. The conservative forces in earth will be removed. The salt will be gone. When the church's pilgrimage will be passed, earth's governments will finally be removed. We understand these four winds are the same four that Brother Jim referred to in Ezekiel 37 that blow on the reassembled bones and tendons of Israel when other governments are in collapse. the winds that blow away the remaining chaff of nations will blow life into God's ancient people. God will establish and bless a single new government in Israel that will be both civil and spiritual. The life of these bones will form a nucleus with the resurrected ancient worthies as Earth's new government with a spiritual administration. Because the dominion of this world has passed into the hands of Earth's new ruler according to Revelation 11:15, now Daniel 7, verses 14 and 27, is about to be fulfilled. There was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him.